Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Tomorrow afternoon, we'll know whether several baseball players accused of using performance-enhancing drugs, or PEDs, will be inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame, Cooperstown. The ballot is long this year, 37 candidates. Among them are Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, and Sammy Sosa, who've all been accused of using steroids. To talk about this year's ballot and how the alleged steroid use could affect the voting process, we turn to baseball writer and analyst Glenn Stout. Good morning, Glenn, and thanks for speaking to Morning Edition.
Good morning, Bob.
So, as I understand it, to be inducted, baseball players need 75% of the support of the Baseball Writers Association. With this many candidates and questions swirling over steroids, do you think anyone's going to make it in this year?
You know, I wouldn't be shocked if no one makes it in this year. And there's a couple of reasons. One is there's so many candidates and so many candidates with impressive numbers. But more importantly, it's because of the whole PED issue that's hanging over almost everyone that's making sports writers very, very cautious, you know, before they cast that ballot and decide that someone's in, particularly for players who are up for the Hall of Fame for the first year.
A lot of questions swirl, of course, around Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa, all on the ballot for the first time. Clemens was acquitted last summer of charges that he lied to Congress about not using steroids. He had his day in court. So is it unfair for the writers to keep Clemens out of Cooperstown based on lingering suspicion?
Well, I don't think it is unfair because there's nothing in the rules that gives them the right to vote that provides a criteria by which a player should be judged. And they've used that power before in different ways for different reasons. And the fact that there is all this suspicion still around Clemens, yeah, it's fair because the Hall of Fame, the definition of who belongs there is not something that's just purely based on numbers. And, you know, as long as there's this cloud hanging over Clemens, it's inevitable. And I think, you know, there's a cloud over every player for about a 20-year period, because even if you didn't use performance-enhancing drugs yourself, in one way or another, you benefited and you stayed silent. So I think it's justified if a writer feels that strongly about it not to vote for someone just based on suspicion.
Well, what's your take on this? Clemens, Bonds, and Sosa will stay on the Hall of Fame ballot for 15 years. Some writers argue that until we know more about the so-called steroid era of the late 80s through early 2000, then writers shouldn't vote to let anyone in who's been tainted by the allegations.
Well, I mean, that's a decision for the Hall of Fame to make. What a lot of people don't realize is that election to the Hall of Fame isn't something that's administered by Major League Baseball. It's administered by the Baseball Hall of Fame, which is a private museum. If the trustees of the Hall of Fame ever decide that the writers shouldn't be the ones to decide, it's fully within their rights to remove that privilege from the writers.
All right, Clemens specifically, some say that he had a career that was worthy of the Hall of Fame before he was suspected of using steroids. 7 times Cy Young winner, more than 350 career victories. Should the performance early on in his career outweigh the years he was suspected, and we use the word suspected, of using steroids?
Well, I think that's certainly going to be a factor that a lot of writers are going to use to justify voting for Clemens or even voting for Bonds or Sosa, players for which there's even more of a cloud around. It's hard to argue with some of the pure wrong numbers for some of these guys. I mean, you know, Roger Clemens, my gosh, he won 350-plus games, and even before the steroid issue, he was probably over 250, you know. So that's certainly a logical justification. The thing is that for every writer who's involved in this process, each and every single one brings a different set of beliefs to the table, and each and every single one thinks a little bit differently about this issue. That's why you'll never have, I think, a consensus from the BBWAA about who's in and who's out.
Are you worried that steroid era suspicions will unfairly taint all baseball players from the era?
Well, I think they do. I mean, you know, I'm someone who's made a living, quite frankly, off writing about baseball history. And I look at the time period from about 1988 to 2007, and I kind of scratch my head because, as I said before, even if a player didn't use, a player knew that performance-enhancing drugs were being used. They knew that teammates were using. And, you know, they were winning ball games based on some of the things those teammates did. So in that regard, you know, everybody gets a little bit of the stain from this, and I think that's really bothersome. And I think as time passes, historians will look back at this era with increasing scrutiny and with you know, less belief in it than I think we even have now. I don't think it's going to hold up very well over the next 50 or 100 years.
Glenn Stout, baseball writer, baseball analyst, whose books include Fenway 1912 and The Best American Sports Writing. Glenn Stout, thanks.
Thank you, Bob.